You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ace. Featuring Bogman.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Do a little bit.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight. What?
Nice.
Two high scores, a bad.
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
What's up? What's happening? It is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Chris Welsh, a.k.a. The Welsh. That right there, that's my co-host Scott Bogman. Find us both on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh and at Bogman Sports. Today, we got a great show for you. We're covering all fantasy basketball, as we've done for the last couple weeks, because guess what? It's fantasy basketball time. That's what is happening right now. Though, I would tell you, the fantasy baseball is right around the corner. If you're doing your research, it's right here. I got a great place that you can do your fantasy baseball research if you're wondering. Since you asked, listener, go to InThisLeague.com, our fantasy baseball podcast. We are full in it. We've done a couple of keeper episodes. We did a Dynasty mock draft, which is pretty crazy. It's pretty awesome. That's going to be posting up this week. We've done a keeper Dynasty rank show. We've got a whole bunch of great podcasts on multiple sports. I've got the Prospect podcast. Bogman has an NFL draft prospect podcast. What you want to do is go to InThisLeague.com, subscribe to all those shows, and you're going to get all the content right at your fingertips. We will also bring that to our awesome FNTSY show, so we'll have some baseball that's going to be sprinkled in here pretty shortly. But today, it's all going to be fantasy basketball, joined by Jonas Nader from Roto World. I call him the process. He's the Joel Embiid of the fantasy basketball writer's world. But I just wanted to let you know something, Bogman. Most people don't know this. Sunday was Bogman's birthday. Let's all cheer. Happy birthday to Bogman. I'll do all that. That was his birthday. You are very old now?
Yeah, old or very 34. Old? 34. Oh, so
you're retirement
year
age.
Left. 1 year left. Anything I consider anything after 35 in the bonus.
Yeah.
So
you're going to have to DH soon.
I've been DHing since 24. So
well, it was Bogman's birthday.
No athletics for me.
I got Bogman a birthday present, and we usually don't do this. So where I'm at in Phoenix, a little bit early in the week, I was able to come across the Cleveland Cavaliers and their bus. And it's pretty funny, actually. Did you know the Cavs?
You brought me Kyle Korver's face, you sweetheart.
you carved it off. Well, Tristan Thompson's UT. It's actually funny. The Cavs have separate buses, by the way. Like, all the crappy players rode one bus, and I'm not even joking. It was like Channing Frye, Richard Jefferson were relegated to this, like, broke-down-ass bus. And then out came the big old, like, monstrous bus, and only the stars came on. But so the guys get on, and they come out. Kyle Korver is wearing, like, some big old fur jacket, and he comes out. Kevin Love comes out. So for your birthday, I yelled to LeBron, and he waved at me. And that's it.
And
LeBron waved at me, and that's for your birthday.
So
Kevin Love also
LeBron,
waved at me.
Oh, okay. So LeBron and Kevin Love waved at you for my birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's better than anything else you've ever gotten.
I've never gotten anything, so that's exactly
that's
it.
That's
yeah.
what I mean.
Yeah, it's an awesome present. Yeah, it was. But the takeaway was like, I was like, when did the NBA do this? I've never, because I've seen a lot of the, where I work, there's a lot of the team buses that come here. I've never seen an NBA team with two buses, and it has segregated to like the B players and the A players. Like, if Kevin Love would have gone on the first bus, I would have just kind of like, whatever, which is fine. Literally, like James Jones, you know, Tristan Thompson, all those guys on the first bus. Out comes Kyle Korver in a freaking fur coat with LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love all on the other bus. I've never seen anything like it.
You would think it would be max contract players or something. Like, that's a max thing.
I think it was.
Kyle Korver got on it.
Well, no, Kyle Korver's got some money. I think you had to make like 10
million. Is he a max player, though?
I don't know if he's a max player, but you probably had to make like 10 million or above to be on the bus.
Yeah, I was going to say, how the hell does Kyle Korver get in the LeBron, Irving, and Love bus?
Well, he was a new player. This was right before he played his first game. So they were just like making him comfy. Like, oh, yeah, hey, don't worry. All those guys are on
that
bus.
They bought him a fur coat.
Yeah, they're like, hey, Kyle, you'll never have to be on that other bus. And then, like, you know, game five, they'll be like, hey, go sit with Richard Jefferson. Get out of here. That's freaking guys. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen, by the way. I've never seen anything like
it. With Richard Jefferson. That's hilarious.
It's so stupid. All right. Well, we got a big show for you. We're going to be talking about the tip off here. We got some blind plays. We're going to play that game. We got a whole bunch of waiver stuff. We've got questions. So it's a big show. So you don't want to miss any part of it for fantasy basketball in the first half. And then Jonas Nader in the second half is going to be joining us. And we are going to be talking a bunch about trades. Jonas, we'll see where he stands on how many players are getting traded. We got player debates. It's a packed show, so don't go anywhere. And if you miss any minute of this, you can on-demand it at fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio. Or if you want the full podcast version, go to InThisLeague.com. You can get the full crazy version. We have a whole another open that's done for that. I go deeper into the LeBron story if you want to check it out. But don't go anywhere. We got more coming up on the other side of this break. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I make fart noises with my mouth.
The Rippin' and the Terran. The Rippin' and the Terran.
Bogman, are you ready to play ITL Blind Plays?
I am ready.
All right, we'll strap in your seat. Over the last 2 weeks, I'm going to give you numbers, no name. You're going to have to pick one player and maybe take a shot at guessing. You were doing pretty good last week on who these players are. Player number one over the last 2 weeks, shooting 49% from the field goal range, from the field to hoop range. Free throws are 82%, 2.33s a game, 15 points, 4.7 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 1 steal, 1.3 blocks, and 2.5 turnovers. That is player number one. Player number two, shooting 44% from the field, 57% free throw, 2.33s, 14.7 points, 8 rebounds, 4.8 assists, 0.8 steals, 1.2 blocks, 1.7 turnovers. Your big differences. Player number one has big on the field goal, has big on the free throw. They're the same 3-point, essentially the same point. Player number two is big on the rebounds. They're close on the assists, close on the steals, close on the blocks. Player number two has the lead on the turnovers by a full amount. What do you think, Bogman?
It's player one, fairly easy. The shooting, the free throw percentage is horrendous for player number two. So I got to go with player number one. Everything else is somewhat close. I mean, you know, rebounds are kind of cheap. I can find those.
These
I'm
are kind of stuff
worried.
And thingy type of guys, right?
Right. Yeah, they really seem like that.
But player and number two is heavy, heavy rebounds over player number one, but you're getting better percentages of player number one.
I don't know if I have a good guess for either one of these guys.
Well, let's take a shot at it. Who do you want to guess at first? The player you picked or you didn't pick?
Player one.
Okay, the guy you picked, you're going to take a stab at. I will tell you these are not guards.
You know what? I think I'm going to guess player two first. Is player two, did you finally do it? Is that Trevor Ariza?
That is not Trevor Ariza, no.
Okay. I'm going to guess Trevor Ariza until you pick him.
It's not Trevor Ariza.
Because he's been missing some free throws this year, too. I thought maybe he had a bad stretch. But player one.
Player number two was drafted pretty high. Player number one, who you picked, was not.
Okay.
Those are my last guesses, the last little hints to you.
You know, I don't think I have a good guess for these. Just you got to tell me.
All right, who do you want to know, the guy you picked or didn't?
Who did I pick first?
The player that you picked, who is 15 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block, good free throw percentage, and 2.33s a game, Bogman. You picked player number one is James Johnson from the Miami Heat.
Okay. Yeah, he's been fantastic recently. The steal on the block with the threes. You know, I'll live with the turnovers for a guy that you picked up off the waiver wire. I love that.
And over the entire season, the field goal percentage is better. Free throws still good. 1.3 threes, just about 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, just about a steal and a block. So obviously over the last 2 weeks, he has been pretty elite on this, but he's been good all season. That is a player that you took. The player that you did not take, Bogman. And I love that you said you're going to take James Johnson easily over this guy. The player shooting 15 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block, bad free throw percentages, but with the threes is Al Horford.
Al Horford has not been good recently. I mean, what is up with his free throw percentage, too, by the way?
What is
happening?
It's
been awful.
Yeah, I don't know. But on the season, 45% field goal, 80% free throw, Al Horford is. 1.5 threes, 15 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, under 1 steal, but almost 2 blocks a game. So Al Horford,
yeah,
he's a top 25 player on the season. But, I mean, James Johnson is trending up.
Yeah, he's trending up. You know, we're going to get into a little bit of the Heat situation with Jonas, too. I mean, you know, he's been a great player. I mean, maybe the Welch doesn't want his autograph, but other people would.
Well, no, I'll take James Johnson. I don't want James Jones's autograph.
James Jones, right. I could get confused with all these Jameses on the Heat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the Johnson and Johnsons, yeah. But
yeah,
I don't want
Johnsons and James and Corvers.
Yeah, I don't. So. Yeah, well, these guys are all on. Apparently, they're trading all those guys to the Cavs, though. But I don't want James Jones. But I do want James Johnson, who you picked over Al Horford in the blind 2 week plays. I like it. Bogman, are you ready for number two on the blind plays?
Let's do it.
Player number one shooting 47% from the field hoop range, 77 free throw. Just under 2 threes, 17.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 0.2 blocks, and 1.6 turnovers a game. That is player number one. Player number two, shooting only 41%, 59 from the free throw, 2.8 threes a game, 13 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, just under 2 steals, 0.3 blocks, and only 0.9 turnovers. Your big differences, player number one has the field goal, player number one has the free throw, player number two has the threes, player number one has the points, same rebounds, pretty close on assists, but player number two does have the assist, both good on the steals, and player number one has the turnovers, the better turnovers. What do you think? Which player do you want to take?
Man, I'm not having a good guessing week this week at all. I'm going to take player one. The percentages are just too much better. You know, the stuff and things, they're kind of close in. You know, you have point, you know, almost 1.3. I can live with that. A couple points.
They're both
better.
Elite steals, guys, but player number two is a little bit better on the steals, much better on the threes, a little bit better on the assists.
Is
but that's
player
about
one?
It.
Is player one George Hill?
He is not. Not. That's a good guess. It's actually player number one. It plays the same position, but he is not George Hill. Player number one is a point guard. Player number two is not a point guard.
Okay, so player number two must be a shooting guard. Is player number two Monta Ellis?
He is not. Monta Ellis has been so garbage.
Yeah.
He's not, Monta Ellis is like half of those numbers.
Well, I mean, the percentages are bad, too. So I don't know who either one of these guys are, but I'm taking number one pretty easy.
Okay, who do you want to know first, the one you picked or didn't?
The one I did pick.
You did pick. The player that you picked, shooting 17.5 points, 5 rebounds, 1.6 steals, and assist over the last 30 days. I don't know if I mentioned that. This is a 30-day mark. Good percentages and just under 2 threes a game. Your boy from UT with the Boston Celtics is Avery Bradley.
Yeah, hook him. Hook him, Avery.
As we said, did not think those rebound statistics were going to be sustainable at like 8, what he was. But he's still great. He's still doing good. Good percentages. He's right in the 50 range, though. He was sitting in that like 30 to 20 range. He's leveled off to about where I think he belongs. He's about a 50 ranked player right now. Numbers great all across the board. I mean, this is stuff that you want. He's not much of a steals guy or an assist guy at the point guard position. So, you know, if this is a punt point guard, he's a player that you want. But you did take him over player number two, which would you like me to tell you?
Yes.
Shooting 13 points a game, under three threes, 5.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, almost 2 steals. The player that you named in the first one, Trevor Ariza. You didn't
See,
say
knew,
it again.
I knew the free throws had been bad. So.
You were right. Yeah, I laughed when you said Trevor Ariza for the first one. I was like, I wonder if he'll do it again. You picked Avery Bradley over Trevor Ariza, and I get it. I totally get it. If you look at these guys, let's look at these guys over the entire season, though, to see. Ariza on the season is 67 free throw, 43 field goal, about the same threes, about the same point, about all the same, except steals are at 2, assists are at 2, and rebounds are at 5 on the entire season. Bradley, since he leveled off, the numbers are still just so high, though. 47 field goal, 76 free throw, 2 threes, 18.7 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1.3 steals. So the steals are a little bit down, but he has still been awesome. Ranked actually 36 over the entire season, and Ariza is ranked on the entire season 33. So actually Ariza's higher than Bradley, but it's probably because of those steals.
Yeah, Ariza's been good. He's also had to shoot a little bit more because Eric Gordon has been hurt. So, you know, the percentages are going to go down. He's much better shooting those wide open threes. He's just better when everything's clicking. So over the last 30 days, he's been down a little bit. But Ariza has those ups and downs. So
there you go.
That's a tough one, though. I don't know who I'd rather have for the rest of the season. Who would you take?
I mean, I lean Ariza because of the volume of what Houston's doing, but Bradley's so good. He's so
good. They're
both
very good.
Yeah. I'm just going to lean Ariza because, I mean, the percentages aren't as bad as the 30-day mark, and Bradley, I think, is tapering down a little bit, but he's still averaging 7 rebounds a game.
Yeah, I mean, Bradley is much better than we thought he was going to be.
Way better. There you go. Blind plays, always fun to play. Feel free, if you've ever got any that you want to hear, we'll put them together. And always love to hear that you guys like it. Next up, it's the players of the crazy performances. It's Boner Garage.
Boner Garage. Oh, wow. A little arrow there, even.
Is that not, like, the hottest?
Boner Garage, you're up. Oh, look at that. I'm so excited and full of life. That'll fade.
The Boner Garage, the Welsh, Ricky Rubio, has had a 15, 17, and 13 assist games this week, right in a row. Are you buying this? Are you buying like a little turnaround for Ricky Rubio?
Yeah, you know I'm always a sucker. I've always been like a little bit of a sucker for him. I hated just like, you know, writing him off completely. But I'm looking here. Yeah, 15, 17, and 14. Those were his last ones. Sunday, I mean, we're recording this on Sunday, and he's put up 9 so far. So, I mean, he's having a resurgence. He has played 30 minutes in 7 straight games, or you could look at it 8 of his last 9 games, or, you know, I mean, you keep going. He's getting his minutes again. He's starting to get the performance back a little bit. What I'm hoping, I mean, his averages on the season are still stupid. 7.5 points, 4 rebounds, and 8 assists. It's just such a funny, like, stupid Rondo marker. But I'm hoping Rubio gets moved. I want him to get moved so he can be a little bit more part of the offense, because it's not a good placeholder in Minnesota. It's great to see the resurgence. I'm buying if he's on the wire or something like that. Don't know if I would trade for him unless it comes at a super cheap mark. Like, would you trade Brogdon for Rubio?
No, I don't think I would. I like
Jeremy
this
Lin?
Little spurt from. Yeah, I think I would trade Jeremy Lin just because Lin has been hurt. He still hasn't played.
No.
So, you know, he's been banged up, and it seems like it's almost going to be a little bit of a lost year with Lin. I mean, he can come on at the end and everything. But I think I'd take Rubio over him at this point. I think I'd have to, you know, get some production.
The Pizza Man ranked 11 overall this week, averaging almost 5 threes, 33 points, 3.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 47.3 from field goal range, and 92.3 free throw. And he hit that game winner in Atlanta to snap their win streak. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is stupid, dude.
He's been incredible. Did you hear, speaking of what we talked about in the opening and everything going crazy, did you hear him like cursing at Dennis Schroeder's mom or something.
What? Why? Yeah, why is everyone so angry? What did he do? What happened?
I don't know. I guess they have a little rivalry. Like Isaiah Thomas.
Dennis Schroeder's mom Schroeder? Say, "I'll have two extra larges, no pepperoni, extra cheese."
I don't know what it was, but he said that Isaiah Thomas cursed at his family, and he said, "I just have more class than that. I'm never going to do anything like that." And I thought that was. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'd be throwing hands, man. You're not going to go cursing my mom.
That's the last thing that you do. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, what's his name?
I got class and everything until you start screaming at my mom.
Speaking of moms, isn't there a player that might have had some relations with another player's mom?
That would be, somebody with LeBron's mom. Who was it?
Should I have asked LeBron when I saw him? Is that why he doesn't talk to anybody?
Herpes.
I know, yeah. the guy, that Donta West.
Delonte West.
Yeah,
yes.
I was about to say the guy that looks all fucking weird and everything. Yeah, Delonte West is LeBron James's dad.
Right.
So not, I don't want to.
In fact, you guys didn't know.
Yeah, so. And now you know. That's amazing. Yeah, mom's got to stay out of it.
Georgie Mantooth is a state. You understand me? Georgie Mantooth is a state.
Like right, like exactly. The mother of your child or moms. They need to stay out of it completely.
No moms. Let's leave the mothers out of this.
Maybe Isaiah Thomas is going to be the Delonte West of this year's NBA. Let's hope not.
Did you see the Suns beat the Spurs in Mexico City? And Booker had a career high 39 points. Kawhi had a career high 38 points, but nobody else was doing anything on the Spurs.
Well, yeah, and nobody was kidnapped for ransom either, which I think is really great.
I was surprised that Peter Ramos was not involved in this game at all. Adam Silver said he wants to put a team in Mexico City now. He said it's the gateway to the Latin crowd. Putting a team in Mexico City.
They play
at higher altitude than Denver.
I heard, I was listening actually on the radio because we're out here in Phoenix. We got the local coverage and it was like the second quarter and Al McCoy was like, "These players all have their hands on their shorts and that really says something about the elevation." I was like, "Jesus, they really struggling that much?"
Yeah, it's bad, man. It's much higher elevation than Denver. It's like 7,200 feet.
I will give anything if in Trump's inauguration he will comment on Mexico City getting a basketball team. That's all I want to hear.
I don't think he'll care.
I think he'll care, but I don't think we'll hear about it.
For Snoop to call someone an Uncle Tom for performing at Trump's inauguration. So that's going to be an interesting thing.
What about this last one here? Took him a game to get right, but Mr. Fur Coat himself, Korver, had four threes. He was 18-5, 2-2. That was his second game with the Cavs. I guess it took me seeing him to get better.
Yeah, that's all obviously. It was. Fur Coat for luck. 7-for-10 from the field, too. So I don't know.
So unhappy, by the way. I just want to point this out. Like they all were like, no one was like super excited. Like Kevin Love was kind of fine. Kyrie was having no part of anybody. LeBron was pleasant. But Kyle Korver.
Yeah, just getting in game mode or something.
So unhappy. Maybe they were initiating him on the LeBron bus. You know, he's
like resting douche face or something.
He was just like walking. He's just kind of. In his fur coat on the butt. He just looks so unhappy. Like, I guess I got to play again. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But he's better. So there you go. Bogman. And it's happening.
And it's gone.
Luwawu got 26 minutes on Saturday. God, that name is going to, isn't it like Timothy Luwawu? Luwawu. And he might be taking over for Stauskas. This is a guy I wanted the Suns to take.
Yeah, I mean, Luwawu's got a lot of upside. It's just you look at that Sixers roster and, okay, so he takes over for Stauskas for a while. Okafor's still there. The front court is still crowded. Ben Simmons is coming back soon. Like, what is he actually going to do on this team? You know, you look at the Sixers and all of a sudden they're pretty stacked. I mean, they need some refinement because everyone is like 11 years old on their team. But, you know, they have Dario Saric in there too. I mean, they have so many players that are going to be great or look to be great at some point. And it's just, it's all over the place. So
God, his name gives me anxiety. Like,
Luwawu?
It looks like carrot at the end. It's like Luwawu Cabaret.
Yeah, Carbo or whatever.
It's just too much.
Weird French thing. TLC was his nickname the other day, too.
Yeah, we just can't do this in the NBA. Like, the NBA should just... I wonder if they have part of, like, their rookie programming where they get guys like GA and Luwawu and they're just like, get a good nickname. because then people will be interested in you. You can't
TLC.
Be, yeah, Timothy Luau Cabarrot. It's TLC. Yeah, don't go chasing waterfalls.
Speaking of nicknames, Demo. Demo has
and he sucked.
Sucked since his first game. He's been so bad.
He's gone.
So his first game, we talked about 20 minutes, which no one expected him to play. 11 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, a steal, and a 3. Looked pretty good. 80% from the field. Second game, 16 points, 1-3. That was the only points he scored. 4 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals. You can live with that. It's only 16 minutes. Next game, 19 minutes. 1 point, 3 boards, 3 assists, a steal, and a block.
It's going to be
and
inconsistent.
And then 7 minutes in his last game with 2 points and 2 boards. So he is trending downwards very fastly.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is almost back. Blake Griffin, he's on schedule and could be back in a week or, you know, or give or take a few days or whatever that's going to be. But Blake Griffin on the return screwed me in a couple leagues. I'm not sure he's a buy, he's a sell. I'm not sure he's anything. Just get him healthy and see what happens. But, I mean, let's be honest, he was pretty damn good. You know, he was doing Blake things before he got injured.
Yeah, I mean, he's Blake Griffin. He's going to be, you know, a top upper echelon player when he plays. It's just he's going to be hurt. He's got all this weird stuff going on around him. I'm just not a Blake
guy. This would have been a great question to ask Jonas, pending the conversation you're going to hear in a little bit. But Porzingis, hey, I'm going to play all the games, and I'm going to play none of the games. He's missed 4 of 8 games since he talked about wanting to play that full slate. I wonder what Jonas, because we've already conducted the interview, so we can't ask, but I wonder, depending what he says, think about this in the future, would you trade Porzingis for Blake Griffin, who are trending on opposite ends?
I wouldn't do it.
I don't think I would do it either, but I mean, I would consider it.
Yeah, I mean, there's been, I don't think I would do that. I'm not a big Porzingis fan because he seems to have hit the wall 2 years in a row now. But I can't do it to myself. I can't put that Oklahoma cross-eyed idiot on my team. I just can't do it.
He's a mouth breather. Bogman hates those mouth breathers.
Mouth breathing idiot. Speaking of mouth breathing, there's been a lot of illnesses going around in the NBA. A lot of the flu, a lot of bumps and bruises. Keeping a guy out for a game or two, you know, we're in that stretch to
it's
where
like the beginning signs of the apocalypse of the NBA, Bogman. All players are disappearing. They're all taking separate buses. They're yelling at bloggers. They're all getting sick. It's the end times.
The first sign of the seven horsemen is Derrick Rose. Yeah. A rose falls, you know, a rose and a star fall at the same time.
It's a rose grows in New York. Grows in New York, and that's the first sign of the apocalypse.
A guy with a weird name screams at everyone is the second sign. So sure. Carmelo,
LeBron is on his own bus. That's the third sign.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's just really just pay attention daily. If you have daily lineups, there's going to be guys that are in and out of lineups. So you just really have to pay attention. Now, a couple other ones just to hit before we go on to trades. Is Vuk is going to play center now, so Big Mac is going to take a big back seat.
He's going to drive in the Channing Frye bus.
That's right. He's driving that one. He's got a hat and everything. Vuk was a top 25 player this week, so we'll see what that looks for him moving forward. Nick Batum is back.
Yeah.
KCP had an injury on his non-shooting shoulder. It's the same type of thing Kobe had last year. He might play through it. He might miss some time.
Probably heard it, too, and he shot it. He hit the shot, and he went, Kobe! And then he got hurt. He's like, Kobe. Oh.
Right. And then he went, oh, too much Kobe. Ah.
Don't pull a Kobe in Denver. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying.
After 5 straight DMPs, Rondo is now going to be the 6th man for the Bulls. We'll see what that looks like.
He's still on the team.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, he's got to move. I think this is kind of them showcasing, right?
I guess.
Got to be.
Showcasing
what?
What
would it be? Showcasing Rondo doing stuff and things and not shooting threes. That's the problem. Like we talked about it before the season started, but that's the problem with the Bulls. They have no 3-point shooters.
No.
Imagine if they had signed Eric Gordon instead of signing Rajon Rondo. They'd be in much better.
Wow, what a different team that would be too. I mean, Dwayne Wade better. Could just play the point. Jimmy Butler is at the 3, Gordon at the 2. Wow. Yeah, you're right.
Much better.
All right, trades.
Yeah, I see it. I made it out.
But you said though.
Hmm?
You said.
Yeah.
Carmelo said he'd waive his no trade clause to go to the Clippers or Cavs. Thanks.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too.
I'll waive my the Welsh. If you want to trade me to the Cavs or Clippers, that's okay.
He's stupid. Carmelo's stupid.
No one's going to trade for him. He's a terrible attitude. He's hurt all the time, and he's got a giant contract. I'm sure the Cavs or Clippers are looking for that.
It's not going to. There's no way they can move that team. What a disaster. What a disaster from Phil Jackson and trying to implement his scheme and the players and Derrick Rose. Just like when they sat down and they looked at the construction of this team and they're like, okay, Derrick Rose, Carmelo, that's going to work well. High fives all around. You know, okay, Porzingis, he's probably going to get a whole lot from working with Derrick Rose and Carmelo. Oh, yeah, yeah. High fives all around. Let's also implement the triangle offense with a bunch of these idiots. It's a disaster.
You know what? You know what it's like? Being a Knicks fan is like being a Diamondbacks fan, except for you have way more media coverage. Like the Diamondbacks are dysfunctional from the top down, too, or were.
I'd almost say it's like being a Browns fan.
No. The Knicks have been to two championships in the last 20 years or, you know,
Johnny Manziel disappears. Derrick Rose disappears. I'm just saying.
Maybe. Yeah, you might be right.
Browns and Diamondbacks combined to be the Knicks. They had a baby, and it's the New York Knicks.
God. That is, I feel bad for Knicks fans now.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. There's a whole bunch of trade coverage, by the way, that we're going to have with Jonas. But an interesting one, as he kind of talks about in here, but we just want to mention here as well, so you and I can talk real quick, is the Magic and, quote-unquote, other teams are interested in Goran Dragic. That's just like Carmelo saying, I want to go to the Clips and Cavs. Like, yeah, I bet other teams are interested in Dragic. Who doesn't want a good point guard unless you have the elite of elite point guards? Like, maybe Milwaukee doesn't need Dragic, but everybody else needs Dragic.
I mean, do you like the Dragon going to going to Orlando?
Yeah, I think that would be good. I mean, assuming Peyton's gone, I think he's going to make the other players better. I think he makes Ibaka better. I think he could make Aaron Gordon better.
He takes less shots.
I don't know what it does to Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier has been kind of disappointing. Just not being what I thought he would. I think that makes them. Think about that lineup there for a minute. Dragic, Fournier, Gordon, Ibaka, and Vuk. That's a pretty dominant starting five.
I hope he makes Gordon better. You know, get Gordon some better shots, that kind of stuff. I don't know how much better he makes him, but I would be happy to see him go to Orlando.
With the cast and crew that he'd have around him, it would improve the stuff and things of Dragic because it's not going to help the points. He's not going to be a 20 point guy.
He's
going to
take less
anymore shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
For sure. Because now it's just him and Whiteside. So.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we could cover more stuff here, but we're going to cover here in just a little bit. Curious, you know, if you guys want some more trade talk, let us know because we're getting into that time of trades for your leagues and trades in the NBA. But before we finish that off here, Bogman, we got pickups and drops.
Pickups and drops, the Welsh. For the pickups, we've got Aminu, Al-Farouq Aminu, Brogdon Mon, Marcus Smart, TJ McConnell, Tim Hardaway Jr., Covington, James Johnson, Krabby.
Hey, Odell!
Nerlens Noel and Demo.
Very
I think I like all of these pickups except Demo.
Yeah, I could buy that. Yeah, I buy that. I mean, our boy Frank Stanfill, in that article he wrote that he referenced in this league, you should go check out at Roto Experts, it was about Aminu and Aminu's stuff and things that we have kind of coined and penned. And I buy it. I buy all of these guys, but I will tell you, like, if I'm starting to rate them, it's an easy James Johnson, Nerlens Noel, Brogdon. That's my top three, and it's simple.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Aminu gets blocks. He'll get steals every once in a while. It's funny because I'm looking at his most recent games. He had 1-1-3 and 1 blocks with no steals in 4 straight games. And then in 4 straight games, he had 2 steals with only 1 block in those 4 games. So he does stuff and things, but he does them separately. I mean, he's a fine ad. He's not bad or anything. But,
what do you think about McConnell? Because Sergio Rodriguez is still there. He's still, I mean, it hasn't been crazy. Last four games, it's been 12, 14, 16, and 20 minutes. McConnell has been in the 30s. Actually, he's gone 30 minutes in his last seven games, having, I mean, essentially he's ruining Carmelo Anthony's career, which is great, this season. And he's kind of been the guy. They've moved away from Sergio to McConnell, but Ben Simmons is kind of looming. How much do you McConnell over Aminu?
I think I do for now, just because assists are harder to come by. And he does steals. I mean, he won't get you blocks. Maybe you can pick up blocks somewhere else. But, I mean, there's always that potential. But T.J. McConnell is a lot like he's like a poor man's Rubio.
That's a good comp. And, yeah, I like that. What about Marcus Smart or McConnell?
I like Marcus Smart. I think Marcus Smart's going to get more run. I mean, Ben Simmons is supposed to come back at some point. Who knows what happens with McConnell then? They could also trade Okafor for a point guard. So I think Marcus Smart is just more involved. So
this is a good list. This is surprising how good this is.
Marcus Smart might get
is.
Traded for Okafor.
You're absolutely right about that.
For each other. So then I'd really like Marcus Smart.
Imagine like Ben Simmons, Marcus Smart, Noel, Embiid. That's quite the, I mean, then maybe Sarge is getting minutes again. That is quite the setup.
Yeah. I mean, the Sixers, they're going to be good soon. The drops, the Welsh. I mean, no one really surprising on this one. Richardson is hurt. John Luehr got hurt. Nick Young, Tim Frazier, Gary Harris is probably the odd man out here. Moody, Sean Kilpatrick has not been great lately. Okafor hasn't been playing. Jeremy Lin's been hurt. Jamal Crawford. Gary Harris is the only guy I'm not dropping. Moody, probably, you know, just because we're in deeper leagues, but
I'm definitely not dropping Gary Harris. That's like my guy. I don't know. I mean, Moody is tough right now. I'm going back and forth. I'm souring on Moody. I get if you want to get off the Frazier bandwagon, but he has games. Like, you know, a lot of these guys, this is a good way to put it. Let's just take Gary Harris off here. If you drop these guys, it's okay. But you have to be comfortable if you drop these guys to know that they might have a game that you'll just throw up in your mouth. You know what I mean? Like Tim Frazier might drop a low-end triple-double. Or Kilpatrick could go, you know, 19-7-4 with two steals. Or Okafor could have a 20-10 game. Jeremy Lin could go off. But then they could be garbage for four more games. But you just have to be comfortable to know that they could go off in any particular game, and you just have to live with it. So feel free to drop them. I don't think they're going to be consistent. None of these guys are going to be consistent, maybe even top 100 players. I still have hope for Kilpatrick, though. That's one. Kilpatrick and Okafor, I try not to drop. I'm not dropping Gary Harris. All the others, you know, just be okay if they have a big thing.
Phrasing, boom!
I mean, I also wouldn't be surprised if all of these guys are in the pickups ad, in the pickup section in a couple weeks.
There you go. There is the tip-off. Bogman, did you know that we have a shirt store? I think you do, because you wear all of our stuff, right?
Boom!
Well, obviously, we've been trying to get more of the basketball apparel. We've got the Fleek Awakens shirt, but regardless of that, go check it out on our website, inthisleague.com or teespring.com/stores/ITL store. We're getting up into the double digits of shirts. So go support your boys, ITL. Go get a shirt today. Rock some ITL swag.
All right, that was a great tip off. We got a lot done in there. Got you some ads, some drops. I looked kind of silly on the blind plays this week. Didn't do as well as last week, but I'll come back. I'll come back swinging next week. I can't believe you finally snuck Trevor Ariza.
But I do. But I do.
And I didn't see it. I keep guessing him, and the one time I didn't guess him.
You actually always guess it wrong. You did this a previous week, too, where you guess the guys in the next debate. So, you know, right. Think about that.
Okay, I will think about it. And while I'm thinking about it, you guys check out these commercials, and we will be right back after this break to do your listener questions on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'll never be
royalty. Your questions, our answers. It's the ITL mailbag. We got some good ones, Bogman. First up, at Mail Joe Chung. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Yeah, Mail Joe Chung.
I did that right. I want to say it faster. Mail Joe Chung. That sounds better. Mail Joe Chung. Mo Harkless, Josh Richardson, Gary Harris, rest of season. He needs to drop one. What will you mail Joe Chung that he needs to drop?
I would probably say Harkless. You know, Richardson is definitely droppable, but I like him when he comes back. And I'm not like, you know, I feel like there's going to be enough movement in Denver to where Gary Harris is going to get back to where Gary Harris should be. So Mo Harkless, this is a tough one too, because Harkless, you know, he hasn't been. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago. I can't remember who we put him up against in player debates, but it was a pretty easy decision to not take Harkless. But Harkless hasn't been bad. He did miss the last game, but you know, he still does his stuff and things. He had a game with a steal and three blocks the other day, 13-5-3, 14-5-1, but he lays some eggs too, 5-2-1 and a block. You know, I just, Harkless has got to be the guy out.
This one is tough. If you needed now, if you're focused on the now, it's Harkless that you keep and you drop Josh Richardson.
Josh Richardson. Yeah, I agree with that.
Miami, though, there's a lot working towards, you know, the Dragic stuff, that Richardson can play a big role on this team in the second half of this season. And Portland is trying to make some moves. They're trying to make a run in the West this year. If they go and get like a Tyson Chandler, they might also. Would you be shocked if a trade with the Portland Trailblazers had like PJ Tucker and Chandler going to the Trailblazers for their run?
No.
And then Harkless is going to drop down a lot. So I think there's a chance Harkless could bump down. I don't know what I said to this. I might have said Richardson. But if you're thinking the long term, I think you could drop Harkless. And Richardson might help you in the second half of the season. If you're focused on the now and you're like, well, Harris will help me later in the year, then drop Richardson. But Harris is the no-brainer here for sure. Number two here, at knee jerking. Jerking. Like sofa king.
Knee jerking.
Sofa king. Sofa king. Excited. Sofa king. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying a bad word.
Safe.
Arise, Jacqueline. What am I doing? Arise.
Funny thing.
You say funny thing. Drop Miricic for Aminu or Darren Collison. He's looking for best potential for fantasy playoffs.
I mean, if you're looking for potential for the playoffs, it's Collison.
Yeah.
You know, we saw Collison, you know, play pretty well the last couple games before he laid some another couple eggs in his last two. But
I got something for you. What if Orlando couldn't get Dragic to go and they traded for a guy like Darren Collison to go to Orlando?
I mean, that's something, you know, it would be better for him there. I mean, it's better than nothing. You know, I would much rather have Collison somewhere else because it just seems to not be working in Sacramento right now. But Miricic is hurt, you know. I think I might keep Nikola over these guys if I guess he's not hurt, he's sick, but he's had the flu.
That's funny you say
I might drop
Miricic for either one.
Yeah, I don't want Aminu because like you just said, would we really be surprised if they traded for, you know, PJ Tucker also.
Also a great point.
All that stuff goes away and Aminu has some Aminu and Collison are kind of the same guy, but Collison has a much bigger upside. So I'm dropping Nikola for one, it's Collison. And I think I probably would because I've just never been a Nikola guy, but I don't like all of these guys. I don't like any of them.
Yeah, it's a little poopy. I think I said Collison, and I'll stick to that. Miricic for Collison. Aminu, maybe. I don't know. I could see all these guys not being owned in the second half of the season. I could see them all being owned. I don't think there's an answer that tells you one of these is dominant. If Portland didn't make a trade for like a small forward and it was just Aminu, I don't know. I think I'd rather have Aminu running the full gambit over Miricic, and I'd love to see Collison get traded because of Ty Lawson's run, but it is definitely a crapshoot. Number three here, at Alan Abadwan, man. He is trading.
What's going on, man?
What is happening, boy?
Not a mercy.
Trading for Zach LaVine. 2-for-1. Which two players would we give up? Marcus Morris, Gary Harris, Derrick Rose, TJ Warren, and Brogdon. It is so easy. The any cancerous combo. Rose and Morris. But yeah, I do agree. Any combo would work. But I'd
any
rather.
Combo.
You'd rather Rose and Morris, all right?
Well, yeah. Yeah. If I could pick the two I'm giving up, absolutely.
18 team, 9 cat head to head he plays. Gary Harris and Brogdon would hurt the most, though.
Yeah, they but would, but I would still do it. Yeah,
I'd still do it. I mean, unless you do have to think this is 18 teams. Like, how bad is the
depth? Yeah, but I think he has like 11 or 13 man rosters. It's not too bad.
Like, who would he be picking up? I wonder who's on the wire. Who could you go and get?
He sent us enough questions that the wire is better than most 18 teamers for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's a good one. At @blue_PowerRanger. Oh, Power Rangers are contacting
us,
Bachman.
Not the red Power Ranger.
Not the green Power Ranger either. They must listen to those other crappy podcasts. Not us. Well, the blue Power Ranger knows what's up. He says, hey, man, should I drop TJ Warren for Gary Harris or Thabo Sefolosha? 12-team head-to-head, 9-category. No, Thabo. Get him out of here. And, yeah, I would drop TJ for Gary Harris.
Yeah, me too. Same.
It sucks. TJ Warren's going to be great all season. And you should consider this as well. Because we said that in so passingly, that it makes TJ Warren sound blah. And we did it in the last question. The Suns are going to trade off stuff. They're making moves, and TJ Warren is their guy. They love him. Their reporters know that out here. TJ Warren is a future piece of this team, and unless they have a draft pick where they're getting like a star three, I don't know if that's going to change. TJ Warren is going to get even more run in the second half of this season, so he shouldn't be some forgot after piece, but maybe you could drop him and pick him up later. So keep him on your mind. He will be on the pickup list at some point in this season, and I'm going to tell you to pick him back up. Last one is Hot Diggity Dog with 2 T's on the hot. That's the Twitter handle. 10-team, 9-category, head-to-head. Who would you own, and how would you rank these? James Johnson, Covington, Ilyasova, Aminu, Damari Carroll. Thanks. James Johnson's
okay.
One, so easy.
Yeah, then Covington. Then Ilyasova.
Just in the exact order. I go Carroll over Aminu.
Yeah, I go Carroll over Aminu, too. Yeah, Ilyasova has had good games. He's had bad games. Damari Carroll, I don't like, but like I said before with Aminu, he's too kind of... Aminu in that whole front court situation in Portland is kind of all over the place. Ilyasova's been good, man. I might actually...
What about Covington, though?
I tell you what, it's those three. It's those three easy. It's James Johnson first, Covington, Ilyasova, like little group, and then Aminu and Carroll.
I think I agree with how you're saying it. I mean, I would take Carroll over Aminu. Are you worried at all that Covington is a little blah if Ben Simmons is coming in? I mean, I know that's a little overplayed right now, that whole narrative of, I mean, Ben Simmons needs to play before it happens, but it's going to affect something.
He could be, but okay. For right now, and Covington can play, he can play small forward and power forward. So
it's James Johnson, though.
He can move around, but James Johnson is the guy.
You got to do it. Bogman picked him over Al Horford.
Yeah, I mean, and I probably would again.
Yeah,
so
we would in the blind. Maybe we'll do that again. Maybe I'll try to surprise you in the coming weeks. I'll do that exact same one. It'll be great. All right, there you go. Your questions, great ones. You can hit us up on Twitter @isitthewelsh or @BogmanSports. If you got questions, we'd be glad to answer. And if you enjoy this podcast and enjoy us giving you those answers, go on iTunes, rate and review. We got a bunch of new listeners. I get people that email me. We've had some new guys at the Facebook discussion group that said, I love the basketball podcast. Just kind of found you guys. That is awesome. Thank you for being here. It would be a huge help, and we would appreciate it big time. And if we get a couple, we'll do our funny. We'll read them on the podcast. Some iTunes reviews. We would love it. So give us a 5-star review. Put something great on there, and we'll talk about it on the podcast. And we would deeply appreciate it. All right, there you go. Your questions, the tip-off, everything happening in hour one. Guess what? We got an entire second hour waiting for you, so don't go anywhere. On the other side of this break, Roto World's own Jonas Nader is going to be joining us. He's awesome. He massive coverage. Him and Gallagher, they are the up-and-comers. I mean, Gallagher's the guy. He's the guy now. And Jonas is coming up. He's fighting for that spot. He's fighting for it. He's ready for it. And we love him. We got a whole bunch of coverage happening, so don't go anywhere. Hour 2's coming up of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you miss any of this, go back and on demand it. Don't miss a minute of any of the action on any of the shows on this network. It's 24 hours and it's free. You don't get that anywhere else. There's 24 hours, but it ain't free. Suckers. It ain't free. But you can go to InThisLeague.com. I suppose you could stream us for 24 hours, listen to old shows. I don't know why you'd want to do that. But you can get the latest podcast of all the shows that Bogman and I do, which is many, at InThisLeague.com. It's your number one fantasy sports podcast network on the best fantasy sports radio network. What do you think about that? Jonas Sanders coming up in the next segment here. But I am tripped out by this Knicks thing. This whole Knicks situation with the fighting and you hear Carmelo. So you know, Carmelo got schooled by T.J. McConnell. T.J. McConnell is now his father. And then everything has, you know, bad parenting has happened. And all of a sudden, Carmelo is not happy in his home anymore. And he hasn't requested a trade. But now I've even seen him make a couple statements about, like, well, you know, they don't want me. We'll revisit that trade thing. Derrick Rose disappears. Is there a more? Here's the question, though. Is there a more dysfunctional team in sports than the New York Knicks? And I'm including all sports.
Cleveland Browns? Nope. Arizona Diamondbacks?
Cleveland Browns, if they still had Manziel and like Josh Gordon were really a part of the future, I could maybe see that. The New York Knicks are the most dysfunctional, for sure.
They're worse than the Browns. So you're putting the Knicks over the Browns. How about the Bengals? Like, the Bengals are constantly making the playoffs or right there in that area.
But they're not dysfunctional. They're just like, they're just
completely
disappointing.
Dysfunctional.
They're just disappointing.
They have Vontaze Burfict and all those other idiots ruining stuff for them.
Like, I'd love to. Okay, that's what it is. Let's find out. Tweet us at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports. What is the most dysfunctional organization in sports? The Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals, the New York Knicks. Is there a baseball team that falls in the Miami Marlins? Let's put them in there. Jeffrey Laurie Bogman. I mean, he's a disaster. Remember the whole Reyes and Burley thing, and he can't get people coming to the games. I mean,
he didn't build the stadium with everybody's money, fill it with good players, and then immediately trade them. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, okay.
They've
got
to be in there.
Miami Marlins, New York Knicks, Browns, or Bengals. Who is the most dysfunctional organization in sports? I think it's the Knicks. The Knicks are a train wreck. They're a disaster.
Yeah, they're not good. Like, Frank, we should have Frank this week, right?
Yeah, we should. We should ask him.
But yeah, I mean, they are having serious problems. Like, well, what do you do if you're the Knicks owner? Are you just like, are you shedding payroll, firing everybody, and just hitting the reset button?
That's,
or are you like,
do
keeping Hornacek and Phil Jackson? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, what they should do is they should just retool the whole thing. Get what you can get from Melo. Get what you can get. You can get anything for Derrick Rose if he even shows up, and you can even trade him. It's just Porzingis. You find a way to retool this entire team. But you know what? They might be too far gone. The only thing the team might have now is to just throw money, but they're throwing money at all the wrong players. It's just between Melo and this, you know, quote unquote, melodramatic bull crap that he's doing. Derrick Rose, you know, buzzing.
Melodramatic, you dad.
I know.
Oh.
But Derrick Rose is the biggest joke in sports right now. It's him and Manziel, and it's stupid. I'm done with that.
I don't know. Like, Rose is definitely a joke, but he's not Manziel. Like,
no, he's not Manziel.
Is,
but
like, close to jail. Well,
I mean, yeah, I'm about
to
say
Derrick Rose was kind of close to jail.
Yeah.
You might be onto something here, actually. Now that I think
Johnny
about
Basketball
harder,
is Derrick Rose. Johnny Basketball, we'll call him. I don't know.
Well,
we're going to talk a little bit about this Carmelo situation. Is he actually going to get traded? When is it going to happen with Jonas Nader from Roto World, which he actually he does some of the blurbs up on Roto World, and he was the one on Roto World that reported the Carmelo stuff. So we're going to get right to it with him coming up on the other side of this break. So don't go anywhere. We've got trades. We've got fantasy basketball talk. We've got player debates. We've got some really good ones. So Jonas Nader coming up on the other side of this break. It's In This League. It's Bogman. It's the Welsh on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is week 13, and we always get to continue our collection. Like I said, we've got a little case up in our ITL office here, and we just like to collect our Roto World basketball guys, and I think we have the best collection in the world. We'll get you Dr. A. We'll get you Mike Gallagher. Ryan Noss is just dodging us. We just Ryan Noss wants nothing to do with us, so we can't put him a part of our collection. But
yeah, I don't know what we did to him, he wants no part of our show.
He doesn't like Clerks or something. He doesn't like our references at 37 or something. I don't know what it is, but we've got one of the best pieces. He's the young hotness. He is the Joel Embiid of the fantasy basketball world. He is Jonas Nader. You can find him on Twitter at Jonas Nader. What up, dude?
What an intro.
I know, right?
I need to spit water in my mouth now.
Yeah, you're the process. I just called you the process. I mean, yeah. Take that.
Let me wipe my computer screen off real quick.
Yeah.
He did the Triple H just like Embiid did.
You see Triple H responded back to him, and he was like,
that was amazing.
That was incredible.
And everything.
Yeah, he was like, there's a little bit too much water to spit ratio. Awesome. That has to be worked on, but it was a good first shot. And I was like, can you imagine doing something and then Triple H is just responding to you? That's awesome.
Man, this year has been incredible. We lost like three greats, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, all those guys, and now we got Giannis and Embiid to look forward to. Like, what a void to fill, but they're doing it.
That's what makes basketball so great is they can they can plug and play. And what's so funny about what you just said too, the guys that, you know, let's also be careful about what we lost. We didn't lose them, but we just lost them to the game. But, you know, those guys that left the game, think about Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan, and think about, like, how different Joel Embiid and Antetokounmpo are. Like, those were the replacements of those guys. It's an exciting time to like basketball, and I'm not going to lie and not say that Embiid and GA aren't like top two of my three favorite players in the NBA.
I mean, they're two of my three favorite for sure.
They're so fun to watch.
Yeah. And
fun to watch.
And really, we're all collectively rooting for Joel Embiid to just take down Rihanna, right? I mean, that's what we want for this season. We want Joel Embiid to have a night with Rihanna at the All-Star game.
For sure.
I think I would like to see the Joel Embiid Mia Khalifa thing. I don't think I would be upset about that either.
Oh, yeah. He took her down. Actually took her down, by the way. I'm saying he Twitter took her down.
Oh, okay.
Did you see about that? Because she tweeted some. What did she tweet? She tweeted some like burn.
She tweeted that they're all like ugly losers.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, yeah. She was like, there's a whole lot of L in there. And he's like, yeah, but there's a whole lot of D with you. So that was a pretty good burn by Embiid.
That.
Yeah, I'm enjoying
it
that.
The Instagram thing, man. Yeah.
Yeah. New Age is so stupid. We're all so stupid.
Crazy.
But we will stupidly here talk about week 13. We got a whole bunch of fantasy basketball stuff. You can find Jonas at Roto World. You can find him on Twitter. You're still doing the pods with Gallagher. You're still doing all the articles. I mean, I feel proud. I'm proud of you, Jonas, from when you first came on with us. You're all grown up, Jonas.
I'm getting there.
You're a big deal. You're a big deal. You're bigger than us. All right. So let's get right into this. I want to talk about one of the, I don't know if it's like big, especially on the West Coast. I don't think it's quite as big, but I know on the East Coast it's getting some run. I want to talk about this Carmelo thing that's going on, where you guys even reported on Roto World. Frank Isola of the New York Daily News said that he went on like a tirade in the locker room. He hasn't requested a trade, but there seems where there's smoke, there's fire. So talk to me about Carmelo. Do you think he's going to get traded? Either way, if he does or does not, what are we going to see from his fantasy impact the rest of the season?
I actually wrote that blurb this morning, so I'm well prepared.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and talk to us about the tirade. Do you know anything about this tirade?
Well, yeah, after that loss to Philly, I don't think Melo scored a single point in the fourth quarter of that game. They blew a 10-point lead. He was awful. And the thing is, he lit up his teammates in the locker room after that game. But if you look at that final possession, he kind of let T.J. McConnell have that shot. Did you see him? He didn't even extend an arm. Like, he was questioning.
He probably wanted to lose.
Yeah,
so he could scream.
Who knows, man? That was terrible defensive effort, and Melo's been doing that all year, man. So I don't know why he's blasting his teammates. I mean, in regards to the trade, too, like, he has a no trade clause, but there's probably two or three teams that he'd be interested in going in, according to previous report, and that's the Clippers, Cavaliers, and Lakers. And for fantasy value, you probably don't want any of those teams because the Lakers are tanking. The Cavaliers will have no use for him. He'd be the fourth option on offense there. And then the Clippers. No, thanks. He'd be the fourth option on offense there, too. So I wouldn't like any of those situations.
What about this one? What about, real quick, because we had heard, I remember, was it this offseason or the previous offseason? There were heavy Chicago Bulls rumors about him possibly going to the Chicago Bulls. I know that would be weird, but what do you think? I mean, could that be something that, I don't know what the Bulls would do. I mean, maybe it's, you know, Miricic and something else, or you know, picks, or Bobby Portis. I have no idea. Free Bobby Portis to New York. There's a whole thing. But I mean, could that be something? Could Melo, I mean, because I think the Clippers, the Cat, those are obvious ones. Those are very, very obvious ones. But do you think there could be a dark horse that could come into it? Because I feel like he might accept a trade to go play with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade.
Well, I think Wade would have to go because Wade's on a huge contract route. I think Wade's getting like $20 million plus, so they'd have to move either Wade or Lopez and even Mirtich as well to package. But I don't think the Bulls are doing that. They're ready to rebuild, man. I think it's obvious after – I mean, look what happened with Rondo, man. This team needs to rebuild in the worst way. I think they'll start with – they'll have Butler, they'll have Portis, they're two building blocks, and that's it. The rest of the team is tradable.
Do you think he's getting traded, though? Do you think Melo's getting moved?
If he does get moved, it wouldn't be till next year. No one wants that contract right now.
Yeah, he's just so bad as far as the contract goes and as far as his health goes. I can't see anyone wanting him. That's why I kind of think it's funny about the, I'll only accept a trade to the Clippers or Cavs. It's like, well, why would they want you, dude?
Why in God's name would they want? I'm trying to.
I know.
I cannot mentally envision Carmelo Anthony working with the, because I'm going to take the Cavs off the table because I don't see financially how they make that work. I don't see how the Clippers make it work, but I can't mentally figure out how Carmelo would fit into a Clippers team that's already just how does that work?
Financially, it's impossible to make it work without moving any of the big three right now.
Can you just imagine him and Blake and Chris Paul all just wearing suits and not playing because they're injured?
Totally. Austin Rivers is going to be amazing on that team. That would be awesome. All right, so you're not buying that he's moved this year. It's a whole lot of fodder, but it's just another one of those things. To me, this is one of those fantasy things where I'm super frustrated. I think I have Melo like in one league that I drafted, and it's a bigger league. And it's frustrating to watch because as soon as you see that to me is the starting sign of like he's going to be so secondary and third on the Knicks at this point, and it's just going to be a battle. It's going to be an internal battle all season long if he's not moved.
Yeah, how bad do you think it's going to get?
Shutdown alert coming.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is you think it's going to get bad enough to where they just say, we're going to shut you down. There's no point to you playing.
2 weeks ago, I would have said no, but guess what? 2 weeks ago, we just heard that his left knee is bothering him. That's the same knee he had surgery on. Then his right shooting shoulder is giving him issues now. So, yeah, he's definitely a shutdown candidate for sure now.
So you're selling him. If you're a Melo owner, you're 80 cents on the dollar?
I'd do it for 75 right now.
What is the bottom barrel worst player you would accept straight up for Carmelo right now off the top of your head, putting you on the spot?
It would have to be a young player that's on the tanking team or a young player that's got top 80 upside.
I'll throw a couple at you. Tobias Harris.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take Tobias over Melo right now.
Harrison Barnes.
Yep. Harrison Barnes has been awesome.
Gorgui Dieng.
Dieng's been bad for a week. That's bad. It's close there. Dieng's been pretty bad lately.
What about Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons is not—he's not a good standard league asset. He's a turnover machine right now. You saw him in summer league; he was very inefficient. He's exciting. Don't get me wrong. He's like a Michael Carter Williams on steroids.
How about this one? How about this? This will test everything, I think. James Johnson.
Wow.
Who would have thought? Like, this is the tough decision.
You
got to
think about it. You got to give it legit thought. Even if you say it's still Melo, it's damn close, right?
Okay, if you're not a hardcore fantasy player, you would think I'm a total idiot, but Johnson is a fantasy dynamo, man.
Yeah, man.
Talk about blocks, steals, triples. He had 12 assists the other day. The guy's a beast, man. He's getting like, he was playing backup center the other night, too.
You're
like,
doing it, aren't
you? He's getting minutes.
You're trading Melo for James Johnson.
I'm talking myself into it right now. So.
I love it. All right. Well, we'll leave
all the stuff and things.
We'll leave that a little open-ended. Last one. Nerlens Noel.
Oh, I'll take Noel any day.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so we're saying sell on Melo when you can. I think we created a good little barometer of the guys that you would move for him.
Yep, and sell Ferris Bueller too, his teammate.
Yeah, yeah.
What about at this point in the season, are you more likely to keep someone who is playing awful like a Kent Bazemore, or would you rather have someone who could be productive but isn't doing anything right now? They're waiting on a trade, like a Jahlil Okafor type of player. So like a Bazemore versus Okafor type of deal, not necessarily those players specifically. But are you more likely to wait on some upside for the playoffs, or are you just taking the guys that are, you know, producing poorly, but at least they're producing now?
Well, you guys are going to know what I'm going to say, because I did it on the transaction on the waiver wire this morning. I picked up Okafor and dropped him for Nurkic, because the trade upside for Okafor is a little higher than Nurkic. And you know he's getting moved. And the last night,
Nader, so. You just brought up a great point. I apologize for interrupting you, but
no, it's okay.
Nerlens Noel or Okafor, who gets traded?
Okafor for sure.
Oh, Bogman, it's Okafor. Enjoy your garlic.
Yeah, okay, but it
soon.
Hasn't happened yet.
Okay, we have a bet, Jonas. We have a garlic bet that if Noel gets traded, I have to. If Okafor gets traded, Bogman has to, and it's eat raw garlic like LeBron did.
Wow, that's huge.
Yes, and I took Noel, so Bogman will be enjoying. Okay, go on. You dropped to pick up Okafor.
Yeah, I dropped Nurkic to pick up Okafor. I mean, I talked about this last week in a tweet I did, but the lineup combos with Noel and Embiid are through the roof, like very, very good. But with Okafor and Embiid, they're horrible. I think last week it was negative 21 net rating for Okafor and Embiid, and it was a plus 31.3 with Embiid and Noel. So that's huge. And if you're rebuilding around Embiid, you keep Noel. You keep the better fit. So I think Okafor's gone.
And how about Okafor's dad, who's threatened to slap the out of a reporter in Philly. That was crazy. That's a quote.
Yeah, this morning. Was it yesterday? Yesterday. I think it was. Yeah.
Was that
wild.
A reporter? I thought it was just a random guy.
Philly reporter.
It's a Philly blogger.
Yeah.
Really?
For the 76ers.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm using the word reporter loosely, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're
not verified on Twitter, but it was still noticeable.
Hey, let's not get all in that unverified thing. Let's not get all there, guys.
Hey, I'm not verified yet, so.
What?
It's a travesty.
Nope.
Travesty. You're Jonas Nader. This is ridiculous. All right. Since we're kind of talking about, we're kind of moving into, you know, productivity and, you know, waiting on trades, I want to move a couple questions into kind of like the keeper format. CJ McCollum has been awesome, even with Lillard back. He was awesome when he was out, of course. What is the cost to you in a keeper league? How high does he go next season in drafts also, by the way? So, like, where is he sitting in a keeper format to you? And you're more than welcome to talk in redraft as well, but I really want to focus on keeper for this. And then let's talk about next year.
Keeper, he's top 20. He's top 20 for me.
20?
If you look at his numbers this year, he's been a top 15 player. He's 25 years old. And let's just look at his numbers. If you look at his numbers compared to Steph Curry, they're, like, impossible to they look so similar. Have you seen them?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually, you know what's really funny?
It's ridiculous.
Distinguish, right?
I'm also looking, and CJ McCollum on the season in a Yahoo 9-cap format ranks higher than Damian Lillard.
Yeah. I think it's 10 spots higher. How
18, I said, McCollum is 18, and Damian Lillard is 23.
Wow.
That's significant. Okay, so McCollum to you is a top 20 player.
Is there any way he sneaks into, like, that elbow area next year in drafts? Like, how good would he have to be down the stretch? Do you see him possibly sneaking into the first round of a 12-man?
I mean, if you look at him, his blocks are on the rise. He has 6 blocks in his last 2 games.
Oh, man.
That's ridiculous. The upside there is just insane. He leads the league in 40%. He hits 46% of his pull-up jumpers. That leads the league. Like, the guy's, like, unreal talented, man. I love him. 25
Do you want
years
him?
Old.
Do you want him or Paul George next year?
I want CJ McCollum.
Do you want him or let's say
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
CJ McCollum or the pizza man, Isaiah Thomas?
I like CJ McCollum.
Oh, I love it.
CJ McCollum or Jimmy Butler?
You got 3 years longer with McCollum. We're talking dynasty, right?
Yeah, we're talking keeper dynasty.
Yeah, for sure, CJ.
What about McCollum versus Butler?
I'm still going Butler.
Okay.
Butler's been top 6 this year.
He's awesome. If you turned it to this year, with McCollum being like almost top 15, like what about like an Isaiah Thomas versus McCollum? Or Isaiah Thomas or McCollum versus like a Paul George? Where do you sit on him this year as well? Just this year.
It's tough. Both teams are in the playoff hunt, so rest of the season, it's so tough to distinguish, man. They're so close together.
They are.
It really depends on the makeup of your roster, to be honest.
Okay. If you're wanting a more traditional point guard, you might want Pizza Man just for the assist standpoint. And,
right.
and he has more points. But McCollum is a little bit better on the, and I mean a little bit, but on the field goal percentage wise, he's better at the field goal, better on the steals, a little bit of stuff and things. So,
right.
McCollum, what we're getting at here, it's not like, you know, breaking news or anything here, but I mean, McCollum, as a, to me, in the dynasty format as a top 20 player, is saying a lot because you're probably taking McCollum over. Okay, I got two more for you. McCollum or Kemba Walker in a dynasty?
Oh, McCollum for sure.
McCollum or John Wall?
Oh, man, that's tough, actually. Walls look great. I mean, the knee surgeries scare me a little bit for Wall long-term, so I'm going to go with McCollum.
Yeah, same.
Yep.
Okay, that's
I would go with him over Wall because of the surgeries, too. Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason.
Yep.
I think if Wall was, like, clean health-wise, I'd probably still lean towards Wall. But
yeah, and McCollum is built for fantasy, man. Just imagine if he was starting at point guard full-time. Just imagine.
He'd be like Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, he's insane, man.
We told Gallagher to go slide in those DMs again. Get back in those DMs to McCollum and tell him, you know, maybe need to, you know, don't request a trade, but, you know, get somewhere where you can be the guy. A couple others in the keeper format I want to ask you about, but I also want it keeper, and let's talk redraft for a minute, especially this one guy in the redraft format. This is my note for this player, Jonas, and you don't have this. Derek Favors. WTF, bro. What is going on with Derek Favors? Are you buying into him at all the rest of the season? Because he's trash right now. I mean, he had a couple good games, but he's been trash.
Trash is a nice word for him right now. I mean, he's been awful, man. There's only one player that's been more disappointing than him in terms of, like, studs last year, and that's Chandler Parsons, but I won't even talk about him.
Yeah, Channy Parsons.
Yeah, Favors has been bad, man. The knee thing scared me, and last year he missed 16 games in a row for sleeping on a bad mattress. Like, are you kidding me? I'm not kidding either.
That's so stupid.
That was his excuse. Bad mattress.
9 points.
I'd miss every game if it was
like, go to Serta, you know?
yeah. There's a lot of deals out there. You make some money. You might be able to go to Mattress Firm. Like, listen, we could all get, you know, some financing here from Mattress Firm. Maybe we need to help him out. 9 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, pretty trashy percentages. And that's over the entire season. Even if we go and take a look over the last 2 weeks when he's been playing more, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Gobert has passed him by leaps and bounds. Is Derek Favors a player that you would even consider buying on the cheap in a redraft or a keeper format at this point?
I mean, if I'm not giving up a top 75 player, I'll take him. But I'm not excited about him long term this season.
In 1 month, Derek Favors or Jahlil Okafor?
Ooh.
I'm still going Favors. I mean, there's only a handful of teams that Okafor go to that really dominate right now. I mean, like, he's been linked to Boston, and that wouldn't be the greatest thing for his value, to be honest. So.
I don't see how that would be. Oh, are you talking Okafor?
Yeah, I'm talking Okafor. Favors is a candidate to be traded, too. I don't know if you guys have been following, but Jazz have to extend 3 players in the next 2 years between Hayward and Hill and Favors, so, excuse me, Hood as well. So that's going to be tough.
Are you hearing anything
Favors
on the Favors front?
Out. Well, if you guys follow Jody Ginnissey and all them guys, they're awesome follows, but they talk about it all the time. Like, Hill and Hayward might be the better long-term fits in Utah, and it's going to be hard to fit all three of them in there. So,
and Hill has been fantastic this year.
Yeah, Hill's been awesome.
Well, are there any talks of where Favors could be traded this season? Because, I mean,
he hasn't been linked to any teams I've seen so far.
Where would you put him where he can be productive?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'd put him in Boston.
With Horford?
You move into center so Horford can keep playing power forward. Because Favors is better at center than power forward, man. The way the league's going, the league's trending small, I think that's a better fit for him.
I've got one for you. How about Carmelo Anthony to the Utah Jazz? That's a perfect fit. Nobody's ever been more perfect in Utah than Carmelo Anthony.
He would never go there. His wife
would immediately divorce him. Yeah.
She's like, I'm not going 100%. To Utah. Yeah, all there is in Utah is Hills and the High West whiskey distillery. So, and the Utah
They've already
Jazz.
Tried the Denver experiment, so they're not trying. They're not doing that again.
Okay, so if you keeper is the one that you would be more prone to possibly pay on than redraft this season? for favors?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I was going to give you a couple names, but I feel like it's all kind of like arbitrary. Like Ryan Anderson or favors this season?
Well, Ryan Anderson hasn't really been that good. If Ryan Anderson had the same form he had last year, I'd say Ryan Anderson, but I'd still go favors. Unless you really hunt for threes.
Okay, here's one. I feel like this might set the market for Derek Favors. Favors or Taj Gibson?
Oh, for sure, Favors.
Okay. I mean, Taj Gibson's been all right.
He's probably going to be gone, by the way, too.
Jesus, why are you trading everybody, Jonas? Stop trading all the players
the trade deadline is going to be very exciting, according to Jonas Nader.
This is going
to
be amazing. Okay, the other one I want to talk to you about in the keeper and the standard format, and especially, and you alluded to him, in our no-halftime...
You know, guy.
Yeah, in our no-halftime pros league, you dropped Nurkic, who you and I were both high on. I was super upset when you drafted him. This is the industry pros league that we do, and you finally had to cut bait and drop him. And he seemed to turn it around just a tiny bit. We had Gallagher on last week, and I was kind of, I picked him up in a league, and I was, hey, maybe it's slowly starting to turn around, and kind of tapered back down. Talk to me about Nurkic. Is there any 12-man redraft value this season, and what about in the keeper format?
It's possible. ESPN's Mark Stein said the Nuggets are going to look to unload him. Now, he had a great stretch when Fried was out, but Fried came back and he was the backup center over Nurkic, which I have no idea why, because Nurkic was awesome in that week. He really was awesome. Like, if he could slide into that 20-minute role behind Jokic, just 28 minutes, that'd be ideal, because he's a permanent monster. But it's just not going to happen with Fried around, especially when they're showcasing him. So he needs a trade.
So, I mean, you dropped him in a 14-man league that we have. So is he is not rosterable to you in a 12-man?
I'm stashing him. If he's still there in a couple weeks, I'm stashing him for the deadline. The deadline is the 23rd of February, so if he's still there in a couple weeks, I just told you guys my plan, but in a couple weeks.
Yeah. We'll see if that happens. No. I mean, we're not using this as fodder, but yeah, I know what you mean. Bogman hit the waiver wire on Nurkic now. Yeah.
Okay, we got this question from a guy named T-Boss on Twitter, and I thought it was very interesting. Dynasty League, he's building for the future. Who are some young waiver pickup guys that you're going to be excited for next year or in the next 2 to 3 years?
Kind of, and I would just want to throw this in as like an example for you. Like 4 weeks ago, Brogdon, you know, the Brogdon, as we like to call him, that would have been like probably one of those ideal, or LeVert, you know, who Gallagher is all on. Those guys would have probably been perfect examples to probably what he's asking here. So just so you know.
It'd be a good idea if I guess I'm rebuilding one of my dynasty leagues. I tanked a whole season to get Embiid and Giannis on my team. I could probably read on my bench for guys I'm stashing right now.
Yeah.
I got Dario Saric. Love his upside long term.
The homie.
Yep. I got this is a wild one. Taurean Waller-Prince for Atlanta.
Yeah.
Monster upside really good for a rookie. Yeah. Monster upside for a rookie. Caris LeVert, of course. I know Gallagher talks about him all the time.
Yep. No.
Yeah, Gallagher wants to move in with him.
The LeVertical, as he calls him. Yep.
The LeVertical.
This is another one that probably no one thinks of, but DeJounte Murray for San Antonio dynasty long term.
That's an interesting. Talk to me about that for 1 second. No, I like that name. Yep. That's funny. It's just you're right, because San Antonio is not a place where we're thinking of a future developed talent.
Think about all the old guys in front of them. Well, like, you know, they're older than us. Welsh.
And I know, that's so sad. And think about Anderson early in the year. Remember that like first week, that run he had, and he was like the number one waiver claim in the first week, and then he's just kind of tabled off. So talk about Murray for a second.
Parker's got what, 1 or 2 years left? He's like
one or two more games left, Jonas.
Yeah, exactly. Ginobili's done after this year. How often does Pop praise a rookie? Not often, but he did it this year. He said his potential is scary. So if Pop says that, you know he's good. And he had a triple double in the D League. He's been lighting up down there, so he could be the starting point guard a year or two from now. So love him, dynasty.
Okay, so those are guys.
Yep.
Okay, that's a good list. Last one I want to ask you here. This is kind of coming back into this season. It's been quiet on the real trade front. It's kind of been, I don't know, everything has been very as of this year. And I know we've talked about this multiple times. I feel like there's not this insanity of stuff that's happening, players coming out of nowhere, massive amount of players having garbage value. It's just there's handfuls, you know, James
Johnson.
It's
just been nights because all of these weird, you know, like there's the flu going around and there's a hamstring here or there. Like, guys will have big nights. It's been great for DFS, but not for like season long.
Yeah. So it's you're right. That's a good way to put it. It's just been a nice year of not too many crazy surprises, but in
status
that,
quo.
Yeah, it's a status quo, but in that, it kind of affects, you know, being able to buy and sell. So just off the top of your head, who are some surprising sells you would have right now that might be off the radar? You know, some guys that they could be having pretty good performances and they're not a typical sell guy. And as well, if you have any buys that aren't of typical, give us a couple that you might have.
I got a good one for you. I thought a long time about this. Hassan Whiteside will be shut down in March.
Don't say that to me. That's going to break my heart.
Yep. I thought a lot of think about this. The Heat are 11-30. How bad does Pat Riley want that number one pick?
Oh yeah, it's got to be
pretty bad. They're 14th in the East. Three wins ahead of the Nets. They're going to tank hard, man. Whiteside's got a bad injury history. I wrote down his injury history earlier this morning. We'll see if I still have it. Knee injury, rookie year, ankle injury. This year he's had elbow, hip, eye, knee injuries as well. Last playoffs, you saw the knee injury, had the MCL sprain. So he just got paid. He's probably going to be shut down. So
sounds like Hassan Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I was about to say all those cheeseburgers. You know, Bogman, if we were really good marketers, we would send Hassan Whiteside a Body by Cheeseburger shirt because he loves to double fist those burgers. Okay, so I like that. That's a great one. That is an off the beat sell. Are there any other sells or any other off the beat buys that you can think of off the top of your head?
I hate this because I love Porzingis, but he's also another shutdown candidate, man.
There's four of the last eight.
Yep. And a 7'3" big man with Achilles problems is not what you want to hear for a team that's falling out of the playoff hunt right now. So
he talked about how he wanted to play all 82 games, and then he immediately started missing games. It was like he cursed himself.
It's
like
karma. Yeah, that's basketball karma. What about on the buy front? You got one or two off the top of your head that might not be the typical buy at this point that people are thinking?
Oh, that's a tough one. I haven't thought about that.
Okay.
Do you have any names come to mind for you?
Victor Oladipo.
Ooh,
I mean, I like him. I think he'll be more involved going down the stretch. I mean, it's been a slow start. You can probably get him pretty cheap.
How about this one? I mean, I feel like I know the answer to this. How about LaMarcus Aldridge?
If you look at his numbers last year, his post-break numbers were insane. So I put him on the trade block in that league. You see that?
No, I didn't even see that. Oh, hello.
Yeah, let's talk.
How you doing?
Yeah.
I'm probably going to take him up, though, because I looked at his numbers last All-Star break, and they were just so much better. So.
Okay, how about this one? How about Darren Collison? Because I got beat up a little bit last week because I have Collison all over the place, and I'm just kind of falling off the Collison bandwagon here. Could that be a guy that you might be on an early buy that most people aren't looking at?
Well, if Dave Yeager wasn't Ty Lawson's agent, I'd say yes, but it's not looking good.
All right. Well, I like the LaMarcus Aldridge one. I think we'll stick with that one. That's a good because it's, performance-wise, it has been pretty bad at the first half. I bet you could get him at a pretty cheap mark. I'm trying to think.
I'm so ready for the backlash of the Hassan Whiteside comment. I'm very excited about that. And to be honest, you're probably right.
I hope you're not.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now. I have a feeling that he'll be shut down probably around the second week of March.
I pray to God.
You heard it here.
So
Jonah said he would eat raw garlic if Hassan Whiteside is not shut down.
Yeah, you want to join
in
on that?
Why not?
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, I'm in.
I love it. All right, so wait, what's the bet? If he is not shut down by mid or early March, what was it?
Let's say, my birthday is the 21st. How about the 21st?
Okay.
I mean, why did I say the 21st? That's my sister. The 22nd, I'm sorry.
The 20 what?
The 22nd.
Okay, the March. 22nd. Oh, mine.
Is that fair?
That's good.
The last 3 weeks of the season?
That's good. Okay, so if he is shut down, you're golden, and Bogman will eat two things.
Whoa, why is it me? Why is it me?
Because you'll already be eating it, so you might as well just eat two.
I'm not going to eat anything. None of those guys are getting traded. The Sixers don't have to do anything.
All right, but if he's not shut down March 22nd, you will eat raw garlic, and you got to do it on a video.
That's fair.
Okay, I like it. That's a perfect one.
Love it.
Yeah, and if he is shut down, like I said, Bogman will eat three pieces of raw garlic on video.
I'll tell you what, I'll eat one. I'll do that just for the fun. Depending on how horrific it is the first time if Okafor does get traded.
I hope Okafor gets traded for Whiteside and then they immediately shut down Whiteside. That'll just be awesome.
All right, that was Jonas Nader. How about some great questions for him? He's always fantastic. But we have more Jonas Nader coming up right after this break. We're going to go to the player debates. I put them together. The Welsh actually enjoyed all of them this week. Can you believe it?
It's amazing.
He is very happy about these. So you will get them right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, gentlemen. Nader, as you know, we do rest of season value when we're talking about these. Bogman has put together three pretty damn good ones. These are some good player debates we're going to do here. First up, we're going to start with you, Jonas. Steven Adams, who has been pretty damn good over the last month, versus Nikola Vucevic, who's also been pretty damn good in lieu of all the big men that they have there in Orlando. What do you think rest of season in value? These are guys that definitely are helping you in different categories, so we understand that, but who do you want rest of season?
Well, if you look at their numbers, they're pretty similar, but over the last week, Vucevic has moved back to the starting lineup and has been killing it, so I like Vucevic long term. Another thing real quick about Vucevic, his free throw percentage this season is way down for some reason. I think with the move to the starting lineup, I think his free attempts to go up, and I think he'll get into a better rhythm, so I think it'll go up later in the season. So I like Vuce a lot better.
Is it pretty significant over Adams? I mean, one of the things you love about Adams,
30 spots higher for me.
Okay, that's pretty significant, because one of the things you would love about Adams would be the block front, but it really hasn't been significant. Though, to the credit, Steven Adams has kind of been a stuff and things guy all season. Looking over the last 30 days, he's an official stuff and things guy. We'll get him a shirt or something, so we can't discount that. But Vuce has also been in there. Bogman, what do you think? You set this up. You obviously see something in Adams, but is it enough to go over Vuce?
Well, this one, it's razor thin. Adams is 47. Vuce is 49 over the last month. I think I'm going to lean Vuce. He averages more points, boards, assists, just slightly in all of them. But he does have worse percentages, like Jonas mentioned. I think if Adams was an 80% free throw shooter, I would go with him. But he's only been 64 to Vuke's 59. And if Vuce really starts, if he starts taking more free throw shots and he's still at 59, I might swing back towards Adams. But as of right now, I'm hoping what Jonas said comes true and Vuce gets in a better rhythm and starts knocking him down better. So I'm going to go with Vuce. But because he's been so bad at free throws, and Adams has been, you know, averaging over a steal and a block a game right now with point. The only thing he doesn't do is shoot threes, you know. So I think I would take Vuce, but I like Adams. He's been playing really well.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I'd add, I like Adams in the second half of this season as well, when the Thunder are pushing. I mean, Russell Westbrook is made of something different than the rest of us, and we can be aware of that. But, you know, maybe there's going to have to be a little bit of a tone down, and Adams is going to have to step up. You know, this is playoff time. This is the run time. So I like Adams in the second half of this season, and I like the stuff and things that he has been providing. It's not going to make me take him over Vuce. I'm still going to take Vuce off of you know, the production is higher, you know, the points are higher, the rebounds are higher, he gets more assists, the steals and blocks are complementary, and I agree with Jonas that the percentages can come up. So it's pretty easy that it's Vuce. But the one thing that I would say about this, and sometimes what's fun about these player debates, is what if you could trade Vuce and you could get, I'm going to ask you, Jonas, Vuce for Adams and LeVert? Would you do it?
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay, so then I was going to say, if you said no, I was going to say Brogdon and Adams for Vuce.
Yeah, I'd do that too.
Okay. I think they're close enough to where if you're getting something on top that you need, you can absolutely do that trade because they've been so close.
And
I got one more thing to add too.
Please.
Their playoff schedules, both of them, aren't the greatest, but I will say that Orlando's more than likely, they have a good chance of tanking. That scares me a little bit. Like you saw last year, Vucevic was shut down with that groin injury for a while, so that scares me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I mean, the Thunder, they're locked into a playoff chase, so Adams is going to play a lot, so
I really don't have to worry about him at all. Yeah, and I like him in the second half. Yeah, I mean, I may even taper down a little bit what I just said, that it's relatively significant. Maybe it's not super significant, and I'm doing the Brogdon and Adams for Vuce. If I could get those two for Vuce, I'm doing that trade in a heartbeat. So, yes, we may lean Vuce, but it's close enough, and I mean, literally the more I'm talking here, I'm thinking about Adams' second half and the possibility of Vuce getting shut down, and it's actually scaring me a little bit more. So, that might be something people want to consider. What do we got number two here, Bogman?
All right, the second one, I'm going to save the really good one that I want the Welsh answer for last. But this one.
Yeah.
Tyler Johnson versus Eric Gordon. They've both been really good this year. What are you thinking on this one, Jonas?
Okay, this one depends a lot on the makeup of your roster, because if you're looking for threes, I mean, Eric Gordon, I think he's second in the league right now in three-pointers. He's got 3.7 three-pointers per game. That's just insane. But the thing that scares me with Gordon is his injury history, man. Four of the last five seasons, he's missed a ton of games, so that worries me a little bit. But on the same note, Tyler Johnson hasn't been the staple of durability either. He missed a ton of games last year with that shoulder injury, so... Both players are not the most durable, but I like Johnson slightly more. He's got steals, blocks going for him, and Dragic is going to be traded, and Johnson's going to take over. So,
are you trading Dragic, too? Is he getting
traded? I'm trading Dragic, guys.
Yeah. God dang it, John. You have traded everybody. Where is Dragic going?
It's
going
to be a fun trade season.
He was linked to the Magic yesterday.
What is? Oh, my God. What does that trade look? Aaron
Heat,
Gordon?
The Heat are trying to tear their roster apart, man. They want salary space.
Hey, don't you think? What about Gordon? Gordon obviously does not fit the Orlando Magic team. Would they trade Gordon for Dragic straight up?
No, there's no way they do that.
What's that trade then? Elfrid Payton? Where does Elfrid Payton go?
They have to move. I mean, they're going to have to pay Elfrid Payton or move him, so I think he's the one to go.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so Jonas Nader has also traded Goran Dragic among the eight other players on this. So you're taking Tyler Johnson over Eric Gordon.
Yep. Okay. I mean, Tyler Johnson's top 60 right now in 30 minutes per game in a six-man role.
That's no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I'm looking at it right here. Yeah. Tyler Johnson is 51 overall over the last 30 days in 9 Cat Yahoo, and Eric Gordon's 52. So Tyler Johnson's been over that. An interesting thing, too, is when you look at Tyler Johnson's season stats, it's pretty impressive. You know, I mean, the rebounds, the stuff and things are there. And I look over the last 30 days, and it's just like, it's just kind of heightened. It's those numbers, but a little bit better. Almost 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3.5 assists, over a steal a game, a full block a game. For a point guard, he's also under one turnover a game over the last 30 days, and the percentages are pretty awesome. You kind of nailed with the Eric Gordon front that, like, I mean, the three-pointers are Steph Curry elite right now. The free throw percentage is Steph Curry elite right now. Nothing garbage about the field goal percentage. I mean, you're getting three elite categories with him. You're getting points, you're getting threes, you're getting free throw. The rebounds and assists are okay. There's not a lot of stuff and things. The field goal percentage is all right. I'm trying to talk myself.
But you can always get threes on the waiver wire. You can't get steals and blocks that often.
You're right about this.
Guard.
I'm going to see Tyler Johnson too. And that's hard because I have Eric Gordon in like every damn league I do. And I love the eliteness, but we're right. If this is a player that is only going to get better if Dragic moves throughout the rest of the season. And imagine the team, take away the core in Hassan Whiteside in your fantasy playoffs and have it, literally, we have now picked Tyler Johnson and James Johnson over Eric Gordon and Carmelo Anthony. That's what we've just done. That's incredible. I'm going to have to
agree. You're going to win your fantasy playoffs too.
You are. What do you think, Bogdan?
Eric Gordon, I mean, he's had a fantastic year. Like you guys talk about, almost 4 threes per game. His free throw percentage is 20% better than Johnson, and he doesn't average too many less boards and dimes, but I'm still going to go with Johnson. You guys know I'm risk averse as far as injuries go. And, you know, I talked about this before the season started. I love Eric Gordon. The Rockets have done a great job of keeping him healthy, but we've noticed just over the last week, you know, he's had these little flare-ups. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? And the Rockets have lost a couple games. They could possibly limit his playing time if they're locked into a certain seed. He could get sat at the end of the year. I gotta go with Tyler Johnson and the stuff and things like we talked about. I mean, it's not like he doesn't shoot threes. He averages almost 2 a game, and he gets over a steal and a block over the last month per game, and he's shooting 45%. So, and he could have more and more shots if Goran Dragic gets traded and if Hassan Whiteside gets shut down. So you got to go with Tyler Johnson in this one. Eric Gordon has been really good with the threes, but you got to go with Tyler.
It's pretty incredible. Now, before we get to the last player debate, this just popped in my head because we talked about how status quo this season has been. But let's see if we can do this real quick. Who is the all off the radar awesome team? Like Tyler Johnson wasn't on radars to be draft. Brogdon wasn't to be draft. So the all performance, the all going to win your league because they're on the wire team. These are the three guys I got right now. Tyler Johnson's our point guard. Brogdon's our small, our shooting guard, and James Johnson's our power forward. Do we agree? And then what's our small forward and center?
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
we agree. That's our three. Agree. Who is our small forward off? Okay, I got one. How about my guy, T.J. Warren?
I'm not. He's been a little off lately.
You got to beat
my
T.J.
behind that.
You got to raise me a T.J. Warren then. This is the all the off beaten track players that probably didn't get traded that are helping you win your league right now. Who are these guys, Bogman? We need a small forward and we need a center.
You go with Kelly Oubre. He's been playing really well lately.
Mo Harkless, maybe?
Mo Harkless.
I go Mo Harkless for sure.
Okay, Mo Harkless is our small forward. Now, we need a center for our all-off-the-beaten-track team. I would almost argue, though people like me and people like Jonas didn't help this, but I mean, there was a point where Embiid was going super late early on. You could have put Embiid on this because he's, you know, he's how he's been.
Yeah,
but let's not add him. Who's our center?
How late did I get him? Like 110 or something like that?
No, I didn't. Didn't allow that. Not in the no halftime league. Like you,
how about Nguera?
It was late. I remember it was pretty late.
Yeah, no, you got him late, and I was pissed about it. I was definitely pissed about it. I'm not sure if Nguera hasn't quite played enough to be.
How about Tyson Chandler?
That might be a good one.
Yeah, but he's gonna be traded too. Sorry, guys.
God, stop trading all these players.
No, I'm serious. He's already been linked to the Blazers.
Yeah.
Well, we knew he was getting traded, but he was still, you know, he was a borderline draftable player at the beginning of the year. I think it'd have to be him or Nguera. Harrell's been pretty good.
How about
I like Nguera.
Okay, Nguera. I was gonna say, about like a guy like Tristan Thompson? But I guess he was getting drafted.
He kills your free throw percentage. I remember one game he had 440 for a line, and he lost me a free throw percentage in just one night. So
okay, so it's Nguera. So are all the off the beaten track gonna win you your league team is Nguera, James Johnson, Mo Harkless, Brogdon, and Tyler Johnson. I freaking love that.
That's a good waiver team. That's a good all waiver team.
There's a better name.
Yeah, Nguera is actually top 70 in just 20 minutes per game now. I'd like him a lot more if Sullinger wasn't coming back in a couple weeks, but you still got to love that production. So far,
I love it.
And Sullinger could eat two cheeseburgers and be out for the rest of the year.
Body by cheeseburger. That's another one, Bogman. Let's print that shirt.
All right. No accident.
Yeah, the all waiver wire team. That's a fun experiment. All right, Bogman, this is the one that you're excited about. Do you want to present this last one?
You can present it because I know you're going to be excited about it.
Okay. Well, this is one of my favorite players. Two guys that you got to like. Which I like about this. This is actually funny, and this is probably why you also did this. This was like a direct kind of debate, though we didn't use Embiid in this. We used Gasol versus like the Jokic when we were talking the young and the old. But Bogman has paired up Joel Embiid versus Mark Gasol rest of season. Gasol has returned from injury. He's putting up old Gasol stats. Joel Embiid is the process, and he's awesome, but he's still kind of, there's still some restrictions. We'll see when that lifts. So Bogman, why don't we start with you, we'll go to me, and then we'll go to Jonas. What do you think as you set this up and you see this? Joel Embiid or Marc Gasol rest of season?
Well, we keep waiting for Gasol to fall off, and it just keeps not having. And I have to admit, I'm a huge fan of Embiid, and I love all of his Twitter stuff. And even before when he was hurt, he was doing all kinds of funny stuff. But I was skeptical of him staying healthy. But they both seem to be proving everyone wrong. Embiid had the minute limit climb, and he's only missing the occasional game here and there. Gasol's only missed two games this year, and he's only played less than 30 minutes five times. Embiid is winning in 5 and 9 categories by average, but he's also played 8 fewer games than Gasol has. So they both come with injury risk. They both are going to miss a game here and there. I mean, just imagine if Embiid played, you know, he hasn't played more than 30 minutes once this year. Just imagine if he was playing 33 minutes a game. He would be probably a first-round pick. I think for this season, I have to take Gasol.
Because I know.
I boo myself for this, but the Sixers have been so careful with Embiid, and I really don't want those missed games from week to week. He's missed eight more games. He's missed 10 games total, Embiid has already. And Gasol's just not missing games. While Embiid's numbers are better, and I will absolutely admit, Embiid is the better player and the better fantasy player. You're not going to have to miss those games with Gasol. Hopefully down the stretch, you won't miss him with Embiid. But I don't know if they're going to, you know, they're playing well right now. Are they really going to climb into the playoff hunt there. I don't think they are. You know, there's possibility for shutdowns and stuff. And the Grizz are in and playing well. They're 4-0 against the Rockets and the Warriors this year. So Marc Gasol isn't going anywhere. So I think for this season and this season only, I got to take Marc Gasol.
Right, well, I don't blame you. I mean, I get it. And especially in a 9-cat, Marc Gasol has been, I mean, looking over the last 30 days, Embiid's averaged 3.6 turnovers a game. Gasol's 2. That's significant. Marc Gasol is in the stuff and things range. He gets more on the assist front. He's in on the steals. He doesn't get more blocks, but he's getting 1.2 blocks a game. He's all over the board. There's nothing that Marc Gasol doesn't contribute in. Outside of threes and field goal percentage aren't an awesome, especially when you're looking over the last 30 days. Embiid is also stuff and things. He's an elite blocker, elite points. I would say, I mean, for a big man to be in the 80% free throw, at least over the last 30 days, that's there. This is easy for me. I'm still going to go Embiid. I know what you're saying, and I think there is something to, you know, the Memphis with the playoff run and the competition and Embiid with the Sixers and a possible shutdown, but they've kid-gloved Embiid so much this season. I think it's important that he gets a full season under him, be it minute restrictions or occasional games that he's sitting out, and I don't see a reason why Gasol couldn't sit out some games, especially on the back end of the season, so he can make a playoff run. Embiid is the better player. I can understand why you go Gasol, but I'm going to stick with my guy Embiid. He's one of these players to me that could win championships this year because of how late he was drafted, and he's a top 40 player. You know what, Bogman, do you know what his rank is over the last 30 days?
Is it top 24?
37.
37 in a row?
That's a sign. So I'm going to go Joel Embiid. So let's finish it off. Jonas Sander, what do you think?
I love what you said about Marc Gasol. I think he's just as likely to rest down the stretch as Embiid when you think about it.
Yeah,
I
mean, but Embiid could be shut down.
Fizdale's super cautious, too. I don't think Embiid will be shut down. I think they want to see how him and Simmons are going to work together in the last month. And who knows? Maybe they will be in the playoffs. They're only 6 games behind the Hornets in the loss column. So,
good Lord.
We'll see. But the reason I like Embiid, if you look at their numbers right now on the season average, they're basically identical, but Embiid's doing it in 9 minutes less per game. And I don't know if we'll ever see 36 minutes a game this season, like maybe the last couple weeks. You never know. But Embiid's 36-minute averages are 28 points, 10.8 rebounds, 2.8 assists, 1.1 steals, 3.3 blocks, and 1.5 threes.
That's insane.
With good percentages. That's just insane, man.
So you're going Marc Gasol, obviously, right? All right.
Give me Embiid every day.
All right. I get it. I get it.
I agree with you guys. Embiid is absolutely the better player. I just, for this season, I got to go with Marc Gasol because I don't see him missing games. I think they're going to be fighting for seeding. And I mean, they're both injury risks, too. You know, if Embiid, you know, had missed 2 seasons, I would definitely go with Embiid. But they're the same injury risk. And I don't see Gasol getting shut down. And I don't know that the Sixers are going to have much to play for down the stretch.
Gasol's also one of those guys that works well if you have a piecemeal assist team. You know, you got Batum on your team, and you don't have great point guards, and you're doing that. Joel Embiid is an elite blocker. He's one of, you know, the, I don't know what the current number is, I'd have to look at it, 6-8 players that average 2 a game, and he's not going to help you a whole bunch on the assist front. But
he played 36 minutes. You take him over Cat.
Yeah, I think. But that's a whole other debate. That's a whole.
It's completely.
Jonas, if you had Karl-Anthony Towns, what more would you need to trade Karl-Anthony Towns for Embiid? What would Embiid have to include for you to do that trade?
I'd want an Avery Bradley in there, too. A top 40 guy.
Okay.
I mean, Towns could be top 10.
Yeah, and Joel. Yeah, Joel Embiid could be DeMarcus Cousins.
If Embiid got the minutes, he could be too. But you know, I mean, we're talking, you know, that is next year at best.
Yeah.
So,
well, he is Jonas Nader. You can find him on Twitter at Jonas Nader. Jonas, did you know that today is Bogman's birthday?
Well, happy birthday, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
He just turned 54 years old.
Yep. Hopefully your Chiefs get a win.
Your Chiefs. Well, as people are listening to this.
That was Jonas Nader for the last time.
As people are listening to this, by the way, they'll know what Bogman's current state of mind is, with the Steelers win or not. But yes, Bogman has turned 74 years old, and we're hoping to get 2 more years out of him, just like Tony Parker, but maybe 1 or 2 more games. So he is Jonas Nader on Roto World. We love you, man. Rising star. He is the process, the Joel Embiid of Roto World. And, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. That was awesome.
Want to thank Jonas again for joining us. If you missed any part of this show, go back and stream it at fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio. You can find our little tab in this league, or you can go to inthisleague.com and you can find our podcasts, which are also up on iTunes. A little bit different. They're different stuff. We're all basketball right now, but we try to do some mixtures on this show and some unique content. We appreciate the Fantasy Sports Network. Make sure you've downloaded that app. We'll be back next week and every week, 8 to 10 Eastern on Wednesdays on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's In This League. It's Bogman and the Welsh. Until next time, peace out.
Slayer.